Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Was I free? Like I should be. Or free as you were. Is it me?
From the studios of New York Public Radio and live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. The Canadian singer, songwriter, guitarist, and actor Tamara Lindemann has been making music under the name The Weather Station for just over a decade now. Her latest album, also called The Weather Station, is essentially a collection of short stories, very short stories, but many of them presented in a big, expansive musical setting. The Weather Station is here today to play some of those songs for us, beginning with one called 30. Here is The Weather Station, live on Soundcheck.
There was a time you put your hand on the small of my back. I was surprised that you touched me like that. But there in your hand was a current of life. I could hardly stand to stay still. And I didn't imagine it. If I did, I made some joke of it. It was strange how I could feel so sane, so plain when you're around.
That was that you now, here now, here is another one.
That is the Weather Station, live here in the Soundcheck studio, in a song called 30, which appears on the latest record by the Weather Station, which is self-titled. And as always, the Weather Station is Tamara Lindemann singing and playing the guitar, with Will Kidman on guitar, keyboards, and some percussion as well coming up. Ben Whiteley on the bass, and back behind our drum kit, as he was last time the band was here, Ian Kehoe. Tamara, to you and the boys, welcome to Soundcheck.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you.
There is such a specificity to the lyrics in many of your songs, but especially that one. I mean, everything from, you know, the price of gas to family situations to a passing ambulance causing him to reflexively put it, you know, I mean, how much of this is kind of ripped from the headlines of your own life?
Unfortunately, I'm too honest. I tend to just take exact moments. But, you know, there's lots of freedom in which moments you choose.
Yeah.
But yeah, since I've started singing this song, since we started touring, unfortunately, the price of gas in Canada is back up to $1.20. So
that's
the song is no longer...
We'd be doing the happy dance here if our gas cost
$1.20. Yeah, but that's per liter, so it's a little different.
Oh, per liter.
Yeah. It was $1.20, they went down to $1, and it was nice, and now it's back up. So it's no longer correct.
Yeah. But the song, as you just sung it, is almost the same as the version on the record. There's one word that you changed, which, thank you, you didn't need to, but very nice of you to substitute one F word for the one that's actually on the record. This song isn't so much about one person as it is about something bigger, right? I mean, the whole idea of 30 has become... I remember when I turned 30, and it, you know, maybe it's a little different for men than it is even for women, but still, it's like 30.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It kind of hits you hard. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, that was the year I was 30. That was just a refrain that I thought was a kind of... memorable. And originally when I wrote the song, it actually was like a chorus. It functioned like a chorus, and it was repeated over and over again. But then the way the song came together, I wound up just putting it at the very end. But it's funny because it's such a memorable line that, you know, if people hear that song once, they're like, the song about being 30, like, it sticks out. Yeah.
It sounds like a chorus, even though you only hear it once.
It only happens once, yeah.
Yeah, at the very end of the song, which is another interesting thing about your songwriting. You don't often use... the song form, you know, A, B, A, chorus, verse, chorus, verse. They're kind of like narratives. They are little short stories, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, it's just writing songs is so exciting and interesting to me because it does feel like even though it's such a classic older form, there's still so much movement in it. Even just breaking away from that, you just expand how much you can fit in the song and how many things you can say, which is exciting to me. So yeah, I love being able to start from point A and go to point B instead of constantly backtracking and having to return to something repetitive.
Right, like repeating the chorus
several
times.
Yeah.
So that song and many of the other songs on the record, they're about relationships, but not in the way that most pop songs are. You know, we're young and we're in love and everything's great and we're swooning over each other and we're dancing. And it's about relationships and the passage of time, it seems.
Yeah, totally. I really try to be scrupulously honest, you know, and not be writing from this perspective of imagination, which I think is a lot of pop songs. Like they're meant to be a fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're meant to fulfill something. And obviously, I'm not writing like that at all. I'm just trying to present as many aspects of something as I can, which is the way that things really are. Basically, everything's quite complicated.
Yeah. Is that why this album, although it is your fourth full length, is the one that you've self-titled, The Weather Station?
You know, it just felt right to do. I came up with that pretty quickly. I was just like, this is a new chapter. This is a different thing now. And short of changing my name and starting out fresh, I liked the idea of a self-titled record.
Yeah. Did you go into the record thinking, I'm going to open a new chapter, or was that after you had finished the writing process and you looked at what you had?
No, actually, it really felt like I wanted to do something new pretty much right away. And 30 was actually the first song I wrote for the record. And it had such a different sense. It had such a different rhythm, this style of singing where I'm singing a lot of words. That was all new. And I just immediately knew what I wanted the record to sound like. So it just felt like the record came into my mind And then I just kind of had to write it and record it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the last time you were here, I did ask you why the weather station. And you said that up until the 60s in the high Arctic, all the weather stations up there were manned.
Yeah.
So there was somebody in like kind of absolute isolation whose job it was to track the weather so that people in the lower provinces could get their forecast.
Right.
And that idea of isolation, of insulation, that seems to inform a lot of the characters in these stories of yours. People are driving off and, you know, even couples are, like in the video for you and I, you know, they're together, but they're not in the same place together.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that idea in that song where it's like you can be incredibly close to someone and incredibly far away at the same time. And sometimes it's a marker of closeness when you have distance between you. You know, like it can be a very beautiful thing when you can be so close with someone and have this huge space between you. And yeah, that's what I wanted to do in that video was show that. But yeah, the weather station, it's funny, like I picked that name in total naivete when I was young with no particular plan of what it would become. But you're right, the idea of someone in isolation in a very distant place observing the world and sending messages back to civilization actually really continues to suit the project.
Tamara Lindemann is The Weather Station. The band is a little different from the one that you brought last time. That was a couple of years ago. But this is the band that's touring around with the current album, also called The Weather Station. This next song called Impossible, this is, well, it probably is self-explanatory. Why don't I just let you play it?
Okay.
All right. It's The Weather Station, live on Soundcheck.
Know what you can't ever have. What is love?
Impossible, the name of the song from The Weather Station, live here in the Soundcheck studio. Tamara Lindemann and the gang performing songs from the most recent album, also called The Weather Station. It is hard to imagine, Tamara, that song on any of your earlier records. You know, the way it sort of marches or glumps along.
Totally. It's when I wrote that song, I was like, this is my pop song. This is like my Bruce Springsteen song.
Now, did you, you didn't grow up really with pop music, right? You were sort of a folky?
A little bit. Yeah, my dad was kind of a folky, so I heard a lot of like Peter Paul and Mary and Simon and Garfunkel and Ian and Sylvia and stuff growing up.
Right. And what was your first instrument?
Piano. I played piano when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Didn't retain very much of it. I mostly just goofed around. I liked playing it. I didn't like learning the songs and playing them properly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the banjo? You played banjo?
I played banjo. Yeah, that was my first adult instrument. I started playing banjo when I was 18.
And what were you playing?
I learned bluegrass banjo.
Really?
I really sat down and learned bluegrass banjo. Not like well enough to play with an actual bluegrass band, but, you know, well enough to, you know, I learned fingerstyle banjo.
Right. So that high lonesome sound, as they call it, that you still hear echoes of that.
Me and Ben actually have an ongoing joke that when we're bored in practice, we like to play the songs as bluegrass songs because they do work. Like that song, for example, you know, like we were actually just joking earlier today about making a record of, you know, like how there's the bluegrass Radiohead cover. It'd be funny.
Yeah.
If there was a
I would like to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Well, my melodies somehow seem still attached to that world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the melodies may be one thing, but the arrangements on this album are very much another.
Totally.
On the album, on the version of 30 that's on the album, there's flute, which I normally don't care for, but it really works well. Lots of lush strings. Did you do those arrangements yourself?
I did, yeah. For the strings, I just had a lot of things already in mind. So I just got a MIDI keyboard going, and I had the recordings. Because I did some of the overdubbing just like myself, so I had the recordings at home for a long time. And yeah, I just played all the parts on MIDI. You know, technically you can just print out the music from that, but because I had a friend who knows better than I do, who, you know, made sure everything worked and transcribed everything.
Notated everything
yeah.
so that actual string players could recreate it.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny at the session with the strings. I was sort of, you know, like, can they play it more like, you know, like, yeah. And he was like, okay, we're going to add a glissando at 44. And I was like, thanks, man. Like, I was like the... You know, the class idiot just like directing through this translator. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you thought, having had the MIDI string sound, that that wasn't good enough and that there's something you get from real strings that you can't get from a MIDI sample.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You can't put MIDI strings on your record unless you're like Drake or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Although lots of people do.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was also just so exciting to be able to do it. And, you know, you mentioned flute, too. Like, I have a friend named Ryan Driver in Toronto who's just, everything he plays with this crazy vibe. Like, there's just no way to describe it. And I had seen him playing flute a bunch of times, and I was like, I don't really care if it suits. I just want Ryan Driver to play flute on my record. So I did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I say, it's not generally my favorite instrument, but it sounds great in that context. And yeah, it doesn't sound like kind of airy, lame flute kind of.
Totally.
I'm pissing it's off all the
context,
flute players out
you know?
There right now. Sorry, but.
It's all about context. It's all how you put something into the mix. And, you know, you can do so many interesting things with instruments like that.
Yeah. So are you still acting, or is this now basically what you're doing?
This is what I'm doing. Yeah, I quit acting a couple years ago.
Okay. The last time you were here, I think you had just finished doing something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now it's pretty much The Weather Station, and this is the fourth LP. There's a couple of EPs along the way as well. But this is the one called The Weather Station. And the next song, called Power, sees Will moving to our piano. Are you retuning between all the songs?
I because I am not really a real guitar player, and I learned banjo first.
Uh-huh.
When I played guitar, I just took all the banjo tunings and put them on guitar. And that was how I learned guitar. This record, I made a concerted effort to write everything in the same tuning, except for the one song, 30. Uh-huh. So normally I would be frantically tuning, but these two songs are in the same tuning. So I'm
okay. And is it standard guitar tuning or is it some banjo tuning?
No, it's D-A-D-G-A-E or Dad Gay for short.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. I think I was attempting to learn standard tuning, but I didn't quite get there.
No, that's no way standard tuning.
No, it's not standard at all.
All right, well, let's hear the song. It's called Power. And once again, we're speaking with Tamara Lindemann and hearing some live music from the weather station.
You were a friend to me. You told me all that was on your mind, and it meant so much to me. From the beginning, now it was so kindred, spirited to mine. I think of you sometimes in the early morning, as I dress to meet a plane before the cab came. Let you down, but you were quick to forgive. You wanted to help me. You wanted to sit and talk for hours, but I wanted power. Responsibility. I express myself properly. I got blindly angry with my whole heart in it. But there was no conduit. There was no sure way to it. I thought that I'd blown it. The further I got in it, the stranger it was to win it. I could not have it. But still I searched from sheer force of habit. I felt like I descending some strange inverted tower, looking for my power. Sun was rising again. keeping distant over the black and blue rim of the sky. I spent my whole life thinking that I was some kind of coward.
Oh, there is a great kind of noirish bluesy quality to that song.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to play.
Power is the name of it from the weather station. I mean, it's there on the record, but somehow in the live setting that it really kind of percolates in a fun way. Sounds like a fun song to play.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thank you.
So, do you consider yourself, Tamara, to be a particularly Canadian artist? I mean, you know, we think of Joni Mitchell, Neil Young. They live here. They've worked here. You know, it's like with a start that you realize, oh, yeah, they're Canadian, you know.
I mean, I don't really think about it, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, there is an amazing, amazing number of artists from Canada. Like, if you think about, so many of the greats. I mean, think of even, like, Leonard Cohen, Neil Young, and Joni Mitchell are all from Canada. Drake, no. Yeah, I mean, I think there is a really interesting scene in Toronto that I'm really lucky to be a part of and that's nurtured me, where I was just speaking about this yesterday. There's an incredible, like, musical ambition that's not about, you know, commercial success.
Right.
You know, it's like people making incredible records and putting them on Bandcamp and nobody hears them outside of Toronto. You know, there is this incredible ambition that's not the same kind of, like, the American ambition of, like, look at me.
Well, and I think of someone like Broken Social Scene, you know, which is well-named because it's a kind of a community of musicians who are just in it for the love of playing together.
Right. Yeah, there's a really strong collaborative aspect of living in Toronto. You know, people are constantly just putting on nights where it's all the best musicians, soul musicians in Canada, and they're just playing at, you know, a 40-capacity venue.
Right.
For fun.
And then there is the curious case of the late Gord Downie, who, you know, I mean, they basically shut down Canada when he passed away. But here in the States, people are like, who?
Who?
You know, and he's literally the guy next door.
Yeah, I've been thinking about him a lot because, you know, I grew up in, like, small town Ontario, and I wasn't exposed to any good music in high school. Like, I didn't know anyone who even played in bands. It was just like I listened to the rock radio station that came up from Toronto. And the Tragically Hip was on there all the time. My sister listened to them. Everybody listened to them. They were like the normal rock and roll. You know, if you went to like a field party in a cornfield, like they'd be blasting the Tragically Hip. So I grew up totally with this band. They just percolated into my brain, but I didn't pay special attention to them. And then as everything's happened, I've gone back and been like, man, like Gord Downie was a poet, you know? It was like this crazy stream of consciousness, topical, drawing in all sorts of ideas and historical references. And that was the stadium band of, like, my youth.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder there's so many amazing lyricists in Canada. You know, like, me and all my friends think, like, of course you wouldn't write a pop song that's like, hey, girl, like, I love you. Like, of course, it's not just Gord Downie. It's lots of other people as well. But, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing to have grown up with.
Yeah. And someone that we Americans would have to think of as a specifically Canadian artist. I mean, he just... The band and his later work with, you know, Indigenous rights and, you know, the storytelling of his solo record, amazing Canadian stories. So
totally. You know, if you had to put your finger on, like, what is an aspect of being Canadian, it is this sort of humble observer quality that I think stands with a lot of Canadian artists, and him including, even though he was, like, by all accounts, a massive rock star.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he brought a total humility to it.
Well, a lot of that kind of humble observation colors your songwriting, the characters that we get on this new record called The Weather Station. Tamara, it's great to have you back with us in the studio today. Thank you so much for coming in and playing for us again.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Soundcheck.
I got so tired of all of the subtext, the subtleties and the minute regrets. You were smiling when you thought I could see. And if you don't wanna wear my ring, my love is the heaviest thing, so why?
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.